with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area, because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem. Jerusalem. "You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are unwilling. Behold, your house is going to be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you outlive me, which probably you will, I hope one of you will be at my funeral mass. And when you come, you will hear this first reading. Because I think it's one of the most important passages in all of sacred scripture. A real apex in this letter to the Romans and in salvation history. And it's one of the most important things for us to ponder and ponder and ponder and help the whole world to ponder. Because it tells us something crucially important about God as well as about who we are before God. If God is for us, St. Paul asks, and he is, who can be against us? What does it matter, the opposition? If God didn't even spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, as he did, how will he not give us everything else besides? When we look at Christ on the cross, we recognize that the choice that the Father had, the choice was between letting his son be brutally tortured and murdered, or letting us die in definitive self-separation. And in a sense, properly understood, God the Father loved us even more than he loved Jesus. Jesus was willing. He wanted this. But he made the choice to allow Jesus to be murdered so that we would have a chance for life. He allowed his son to take our place on death row and pay the price for our sins. Says something about the unbelievable mind-blowing love of the Lord, as well as about our real dignity. And if God has in fact loved us this much, St. Paul says, he will give us everything else besides. If he didn't hold back this, everything else we need is going to be given. Everything else we need is going to be given. And all we've got to do is open ourselves up for that everything else, knowing confidently that this is real. Where do we really get that everything else? Every single day it's here. It's constantly not sparing his only begotten son, but giving us his son as our food. If God the Father gives us this grace, what grace is he going to withhold? You know, I've learned something from St. John Vianney. Learned many things from St. John Vianney. But one of it is the total confidence that he has in the priesthood to ask for things. Because he basically says if God will obey the priest and send his son down from heaven to earth, and obey the priest and wipe somebody's soul totally clean to prepare somebody for heaven, binding on earth and binding in heaven, loosing on earth and loosing in heaven. No matter what else the priest asks him, it is small potatoes compared to that big thing. So just ask. Everything else is small, including raising people from the dead. Everything else is small compared to this. God will give us everything else besides. And as if St. Paul hasn't said enough already for us to ponder for the rest of our life on earth, like a good infomercial, he goes on and he builds. Who'll bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It's God who acquits us. So if somebody tries to condemn us, if somebody tries to judge us, if somebody tries to hurl all the sins and mistakes and failures, throwing that in front of us, he acquits us. He's taken all those away. That shouldn't become an obstacle. Who'll condemn? Certainly not Jesus. It's Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. He's not going to condemn us. We shouldn't care if anybody else is going to try to condemn us. And sometimes people will try to condemn us to deflect the attention off of where their real soul is. Who will separate us from Christ's love? And he asks two different categories of things. First is all the physical fears that we would have and physical pain that so often the devil tries to use to alienate us from God. He lists them all. Anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, martyrdom, in other words. As it is written, for your sake we're being slain all day long. Looked at as everybody else's, by everybody else's sheep to be slaughtered. Can any of these things separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? St. Paul emphatically says, hell no. But he says something more. In all these things, we conquer and conquer overwhelmingly. In all of these things, we're not losing. All of these things, we're winning, and not just barely winning, we're conquering overwhelmingly through him who loved us. And so when these things happen, anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword, because of the love of the Lord, we're able to conquer overwhelmingly. And we see that in the lives of so many of the great saints and martyrs. How transcendent they were precisely in the midst of that suffering. For me, the classic case is always St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was able to ponder being eaten and ground into the food by the beasts, by the lions. He was able actually to ponder that and conquer overwhelmingly because he wasn't afraid, because he knew it couldn't separate us from the love of God. So let's throw in every physical thing. It can't separate us from the love of God. The devil's going to try. But that's a time in which we're able to stomp on the head of the devil, not just with our big toe, not just with one foot, not just even with both feet, but jumping up and down with all the communion of saints, and especially led by the Blessed Virgin, stomping on that head. To rout, in other words, the devil, the bad spirits that with which he wants to sort of drag us down through suffering. First category of stuff can't separate us from the love of God, who loves us this much. So then he brings the higher order of threats. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor present, future things, nor powers, heights, nor depths, nor any other creature, including all sort of the list of the fallen angels, all the opponents who are much stronger than the physical opponents in this world, they can't even separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. They're going to try. but they can't succeed. Because again, if God the Father's given us his only begotten Son and didn't spare his crucifixion, he'll give us what we need to conquer overwhelmingly, even against the principalities and powers that have fallen. So what do we have to be afraid of? We see that in the gospel. But not fear, but we just have to be conscious of it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. How many times I yearn to gather your children together. As a hen gathers her brood under her wing. But you were unwilling. You were unwilling. You didn't freely choose it. You didn't allow yourself to receive these graces. But in fact, you rejected them in murdering the prophets and stoning those who were sent to you. It was your choice not to allow God to love you in this way. We see it in Herod, who was coming after Jesus, seeking to kill him as he had killed John the Baptist. Go and tell that fox, Jesus says, that one who is prowling around, cowardly, just going after wounded people. Go tell that fox. And Jesus summarizes his whole ministry. Behold, I cast out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow. And the third day I accomplish my purpose. His entire life was to cast out demons and perform healings. It was on the third day that he was going to accomplish, and we know what that third day is, the day of the resurrection. His whole work was to free us and to heal us. But Herod was unwilling. How tragic that is. But you were unwilling. You know, it's key for us, both as a disciple and as an apostle, to recognize God will never, ever, 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 ever stop loving us. Even in hell, it is totally impossible for God to stop loving us. But we can choose not to receive that gift of love. And that is ultimately the classic definition of sin. How do we do that? How do we refuse the Lord's love? How do we become unwilling? Because we don't want the love of God to change us. A lot of the times we just don't want to be loved by anyone, including the Lord, because we want to hold on to this self-image that basically deep down inside we're not worthy of the Lord's love. It's true, we're not worthy of the Lord's love, but he does love us, and that's a fact. And are we going to change our own self-understanding because of how much he loves us? So that in a sense he does say the word and makes us that lovable over the course of time? Or are we just going to hold on to our own spiritual blankets that don't allow themselves to be integrated in the real, real world of God's love? Are we willing? Are we able to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? And we know what happened when the Lord was so welcomed. 5 days later, God didn't even spare his own son, but handed him over for us all to lay down our cloaks for the coming Messiah, to really acknowledge Christ in the Mass with those words that we say right before we receive him. It means to allow him to come in and love us to the extreme. Today, as we come forward, these words of St. Paul echo. It is true. God has so loved us that he's handed us his only begotten Son. And if God didn't even spare his own Son, he will give us everything else besides. So let us just rest in this reality. Let us confidently and boldly ask Him for the everything else. Let us embrace the one who comes in the name of the Lord and who is the Lord. And then let us beg Him for the grace so to be filled with this love from which no reality in heaven and on earth can separate us except our own choice not to receive it. To be so filled with this reality that we will be able to go out to all those who don't think they're lovable either and convince them that they're wrong. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.